WGN, 1210 on WGN. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Williams here. We do the business lunch till 1, then we kick other things around from 1 to 2, and of course I'm on from 10 to noon as well. All of that to say that just a little while ago we were talking about the citizenship test to become an American citizen. 815 texted in to say, King John, our 5 kids were adopted from Colombia. To get their certificates of citizenship, they had to go through the swearing-in ceremony in a room filled with people from all over the world becoming U.S. citizens. It was truly an inspiring experience. And I didn't relate that note to you, too, although I don't suppose that surprises you to hear. When I was talking to my neighbor about his becoming a U.S. citizen, he said there were people from 27 countries there, and it gives you goosebumps. And I completely agree. Whenever I see a story or a picture or a video of that, I look at all of those people from all of those parts of the world, and I think of all of the promise that America is and what a light it is for people and how angry I get when it does not fulfill its promise. But still, it's America, and people want to be part of that. And that is truly inspiring, and I'm glad that you shared that with us. We also asked you what you did over the weekend. You can continue to text to 312-981-7200. Some of you went to the Orchid Show, to the Volo Auto Museum. John, I put together a 756-piece Lego flower bouquet. I want to do that. That's a good idea. John Beaver is a financial advisor, Phase 3 Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm, and a registered principal with Royal Alliance Associates. He's joined us before, and he joins us again. Hi, John. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Really appreciated that story on U.S. citizenship, and it puts everything in perspective, especially with, you know, where the market is today. This is still a great place to live, and people, when they can become citizens, it truly is an amazing experience watching that, isn't it?
You know, not that it's my job to figure it out, but the markets really are hard to figure out these days. I mean, I'll just keep throwing some money in every 2 weeks, but can you give us some context to either how bad it is or how hopeful you are? Where are we?
So the market is looking for a bottom, but it can't find it. So it's going to continue to search and probably push lower. How low, how much lower, nobody knows. So we are, you know, technically not in a correction. You have to be down 20%. The S&P is not. The NASDAQ is. But for the average stock, the market is in a correction. The average stock is down more than 20%. So, bear market rules apply. The market is looking for a bottom. It could be here in a day, two, three. It could be 3-4 weeks, 3-4 months. We just don't know. Market has dropped actually 13% technically for the S&P 500, and that's from the top on January 3rd. So this thing isn't that old yet. And it has been an incredibly volatile week last week. We're back to the levels where we were April of last year. So for people that look at their accounts on a shorter term basis, that's, you know, got to be kind of discouraging. And the 10-year Treasury is making a new cycle high at 2.1%, which is still incredibly low if you look at a 40-year chart.
Still, when I get despondent about the nature of things, I just draw the line to the left a little further, if you're talking about the Dow or the NASDAQ. Just go back far enough and you will see an upward trend, won't you?
You will, and that's the key here. Are you a short-term trader or are you a long-term buy and holder? And that really informs your decisions. You know, right now this week we've got the Fed meeting coming up. We've got Ukraine that is, you know, stealing the headlines here. The real news for the market, though, it's really the Fed. The Fed holds the keys as we're looking at the price of oil and we're looking at inflation and interest rates.
The president is not responsible for the price of oil or gasoline at the pump, is he?
No. He is responsible for policy that affects that, though. And this is, you know, my opinion as I've looked at things, I think we could really hurt Russia by letting that price of oil drop. Let that price of oil go down, and that would be producing a lot. Maybe that's not what we want to do long term, but short term. Well, what we're dealing with right now is a perceived shortage of oil. See, Russia brings about 5 million barrels of oil a day to the market. My guess is they're going to find some way to sell that. You know, they're still going to be selling into Europe. But oil is priced on the margin. So what that means is that when we think we're going to run a little short, the price goes way up. If we think we're going to run a little excess, then the price drops. So right now there's this concern about the world running short. We consume about 99 to 100 million barrels a day. So Russia doing 5 million, I mean, that's a chunk. That's 5% of that.
But the we is an interesting part of that sentence. You said, well, we would do better if we produced more oil. We don't produce oil. Chevron does. Mobil does. It's a private company, and it's a world market. So I want the price of gas at the pump to go down, too. But I don't know that any president can just fix that.
No, they really can't. If they let the markets work it out, the markets will work it out. That's the thing, is giving the businesses and the markets the room to go ahead and do that. What happens, though, is that this affects us at the pump. You're right, and this is the inflation side of things. And so on that inflation side of things, the average person now is spending almost twice what they were a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Compared to 10 years ago, they're basically spending about the same amount on an inflation-adjusted basis.
I don't know why that point does not get made more often. Again, I'm trying to ease our pain, or at least provide some context, some perspective. You have been paying this much per dollar earned before. Doesn't make it any fun, but this isn't an unprecedented time in that sense. I'm out of time. Let's pause here. We'll update you on the markets, and then I want you to talk more about that, John, and also inflation and where you think the top is on that. John Beavers with us, the financial advisory, phase3advisory.com. Let's go into the WGN radio newsroom. Bob Kessler, where are those markets? It's 12:21. This is the OneTrust Business Lunch. John Beavers, the financial advisor from Phase 3 Advisory, on the line with us. John, I wanted to ask you about some other things, but any last thing you wanted to say? I kind of cut you off there a minute ago about oil prices and prices at the pump.
Yeah, it's not a single factor this time. It's not just price of oil going up. Of course, that's an input into food, but we do have the supply chain issues that's also affecting the price of food, autos, clothing. So really, the consumer is feeling more than just the price at the pump. They're feeling this pressure really across the board. And so what that's going to do, that's going to pull their spending from discretionary areas and durable goods into the necessary areas, energy, food, and necessary services. So this is an inflationary cycle that could last for a while here.
You wrote that the average person uses 562 gallons a year. So that's what's your math on that?
The math comes out to be about $2,400 a year spent on gas at the current price. Now, again, that's an average. If you take a look at someone that's commuting a long distance, it's going to have a dramatic impact on their budget, especially if they don't have any spare change.
Yeah, a couple hundred bucks a month then on gas alone. And then if the truck that delivered the tomatoes to the grocery store is paying that, everything goes up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Part of the input.
So what are smart people doing with their money? How are they managing around this? I don't know if I'm talking about going to the grocery store or with their retirement portfolios.
Yeah, so with the portfolio, this is why it's necessary to have a piece of the portfolio in natural resources. You know, we don't know exactly when that next inflationary cycle is going to hit. But this cycle could last for a couple of decades. In history, when we take a look at these inflationary cycles, they usually last more than a year or two. Part of this is the shock of the Russia invasion. But even without the Russia invasion, we were looking at higher energy prices in terms of the price of oil. So, and we have the Fed that's been printing like crazy, finally stopping now in the month of March, and Washington, D.C. that's been spending like crazy borrowing this money. That's a lot of money getting put into the system that creates this inflation. They're not going to stop this in a month or two or three. So that's really the big picture. It's the interest rates, it's the inflation fighting that the Fed has to do. And they've got this tension between curbing inflation but not creating a recession.
You said a couple of decades?
It could be. The last cycle that we had in this was the 1960s and 70s, and it took Volcker to really put the hammer down on that.
So what... I haven't heard that. Like, all of us are hoping it gets better soon. A couple of decades doesn't do that for me.
No, but it's also not going to be a couple of decades, most likely, of 7%. You know, we printed 7.5% last year. Last month was 7.9. They're talking maybe we hit a high of 10% sometime this year. That'll moderate back down again. But think about how temperature rises during spring and summer. It's not a straight line, but it does get warmer and warmer. That's where we're at in the cycle right now on the inflationary side. And see, inflation is part of the answer to the government debt. See, we've got so much debt now, government debt, they can't just pay it down. So the answer historically is to inflate your way out of that. Not that they want to create 7 to 10% inflation, but we're probably looking at a higher average the next 10, 20 years than we've had the last 20 or 30 years.
So what should I tell my congressman, and what should I tell my investment advisor?
I'm not sure it matters much what you tell your congressman, but your investment advisor, make sure that you got those inflation protections in there. And, you know, stocks are a good inflation hedge as long as it's not out of control inflation. But the stock market right now, it's still priced for where interest rates are today, not where interest rates are going. Fed has to raise rates. They'll be raising maybe 4 times this year. There's been talk about 7 times. I think everybody agrees that's not going to happen because of what's happened with the price of oil. But, you know, we'll be looking at higher rates. We should be looking at a 10-year treasury, maybe closer to 3%, and that's what's pressuring the stock market to the downside.
Still, is there any other place to put your
stocks.
Money? I mean,
stocks.
Go ahead.
Have some stocks. Have some natural resources. The balance there is going to really depend on your stage of life and your risk tolerance. Real estate is a great piece to have in there. For people that have the guts, emerging markets are looking really cheap. I think 10 years from now, we may be looking at substantially higher prices out of the emerging markets than we are here. And in the value growth trade, in our opinion, we still have a long way to run in the value growth trade, and that means having your portfolio oriented more towards value than growth at this point in time. That's what works at this stage of the cycle going into an inflationary period.
Got a minute left, John. What do you mean emerging markets? Can you give me some specificity on that?
South America, China, for those that feel that they can handle what's going on there. Asia, you know, Russia is part of emerging markets. I don't know how that's going to turn out for anybody.
But you're
there's
saying investing companies
that off.
You're
right
saying
now.
investing companies that do business in or originate from there, and that those are good values right now, good bets right now.
They're very cheap. They're very cheap. Now, they can stay cheap for many, many years. And again, it wouldn't be a majority of the portfolio, but maybe do some nibbling down there.
John Beavers, a financial advisor at Phase 3 Advisory Services, phase3advisory.com. The number 3 is the website. Always interesting, John. Thanks for your thoughts today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, it's 1226 WGN Radio News.